Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memra Mayram Goldar, and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ein Dal, the 8th Perek Ben Sora Umora. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem, and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul said that if a rotif was pursuing someone to kill him, and one was able to save the potential victim by disabling one of the rotif's limbs, and he didn't save him that way, but killed the pursuer, the rescuer himself is killed for it, since it wasn't necessary to save the victim. The Pasuk says, if men shall fight and they inadvertently strike a pregnant woman and she miscarries, Rabbi Elazar says it's discussing Matsus Shebemisa, a fight to the death where they intend to kill each other, since if there's a fatality, the killer is executed, which is only possible if they intend to kill. Still, if there is no fatality, he must pay for the loss of the fetus. Since a rotif may be killed to stop him, he should be exempt from any monetary payments. Rather, the pasuk's case must be that one was able to save the victim by disabling one of the rotif's limbs and proves that the rotif may not be killed in such a case. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan reported that it was voted and decided that regarding all averos, if one is told transgress this avera, or else we'll kill you, then yavor bal yehereg, he should transgress it and not be killed except for avodah zorah, gilui arayos, and murder. Rabbi Shmuel holds one should even serve avodah zorah rather than be killed, but we rule like Rabbi Eliezer, who darshans the commandment to love Hashem b'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha, with all your soul and all your resources, to teach. If you have a person whose life is more precious to him than his money, he's commanded to sacrifice even kol nafshecha, meaning his life. If one's money is more precious to him than his life, the Torah says to sacrifice even your money. The requirement to be killed to avoid gilui arayos is derived from a hekesh with murder, which is known through logic. A governor once ordered someone to kill a Jew or else be killed, and Rabbah told him to allow himself to be killed rather than murder, because mi yemar de dama didach sumach tvei, who says that your blood is redder than his? Dilma dama de hu gavra sumach tvei, perhaps the blood of that man is redder than yours. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan said that b'shas gezeres hamalchus, during a time of governmental decrees against Yiddishkeit, one must sacrifice his life to avoid transgressing even mitzvah kala, a minor mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan said the same for any aver transgressed before Hesia, in public, meaning before 10 Jews. A mitzvah kol includes even changing arkas of the masana, his shoelaces, where the Jewish practice differs for modesty purposes. The Gemara asked, Vahai Esther bar Hesia havai? But Esther's living with Achashverosh was public knowledge. Why were such relations permitted? Abai answers that Esther was karka olam, like the ground of the earth, meaning completely passive in relations, and was not required to sacrifice her life. Rava answers, Hanaz Atzman Shani, Gentiles' demands which are for their own pleasure, such as Achashverosh, are different and permitted even in public. This explains the permit to contribute brass utensils for heating in idolatrous temples. Similarly, Rava ruled that if a Gentile instructed a Jew to cut aspasta on Shabbos to feed his animals, or be killed for refusing, he should obey. But if he told him to throw the aspasta in the river, he must refuse, since the Gentile's goal is the transgression. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul said that if a rotif was pursuing someone to kill him, and one was able to save the potential victim by disabling one of the rotif's limbs, and he didn't save him that way, but killed the pursuer, the rescuer himself is killed for it, since it wasn't necessary to save the victim. The pasuk says, if men shall fight and they inadvertently strike a pregnant woman and she miscarries, Rabbi Elazar says it's discussing Matsus Shebemisa, a fight to the death where they intended to kill each other, since if there's a fatality, the killer is executed, which is only possible if they intend to kill. Still, if there is no fatality, he must pay for the loss of the fetus. Since a rotif may be killed to stop him, he should be exempt from any monetary payments. Rather, the pasuk's case must be that one was able to save the victim by disabling one of the rotif's limbs and proves that the rotif may not be killed in such a case. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan reported that it was voted and decided that regarding all averos, if one is told transgress this avera, or else we'll kill you, then yavor bal yehereg, he should transgress it and not be killed except for avodah zorah, gilui arayos, and murder. Rabbi Shmuel holds one should even serve avodah zorah rather than be killed, but we rule like Rabbi Eliezer, who darshans the commandment to love Hashem b'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha, with all your soul and all your resources, to teach. If you have a person whose life is more precious to him than his money, he's commanded to sacrifice even kol nafshecha, meaning his life. If one's money is more precious to him than his life, the Torah says to sacrifice even your money. The requirement to be killed to avoid gilui arayos is derived from a hekesh with murder, which is known through logic. A governor once ordered someone to kill a Jew or else be killed, and Rabbah told him to allow himself to be killed rather than murder, because mi yemer de damen didach sumach tvei, who says that your blood is redder than his? Dilma dama de hugavra sumach tvei, perhaps the blood of that man is redder than yours. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan said that b'shas gezeres hamalchus, during a time of governmental decrees against Yiddishkeit, one must sacrifice his life to avoid transgressing even mitzvah kala, a minor mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan said the same for any aver transgressed before Hesia, in public, meaning before 10 Jews. A mitzvah kala includes even changing arkas of the masana, his shoelaces, where the Jewish practice differs for modesty purposes. The Gemara asked, Vahai Esther bar Hesia havai? But Esther's living with Achashverosh was public knowledge. Why were such relations permitted? Abai answers that Esther was karka olam, like the ground of the earth, meaning completely passive in relations, and was not required to sacrifice her life. Rava answers, Hanaz Atzman Shani, Gentiles' demands which are for their own pleasure, such as Achashverosh, are different and permitted even in public. This explains the permit to contribute brass utensils for heating in idolatrous temples. Similarly, Rava ruled that if a Gentile instructed a Jew to cut aspasta on Shabbos to feed his animals, or be killed for refusing, he should obey. But if he told him to throw the aspasta in the river, he must refuse, since the Gentile's goal is the transgression. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Ayin Dalet, and our standard Siman is an aid, a witness. So here goes. Well, one aid told a nirdaf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the rotif's leg to avoid being chayiv misa. A pair of aidim told their terrified friend that although yerog vel yavor usually applies to three averos, this was shas gezeres hamalchus, and he should give up his life rather than change his shoelaces for goyisha ones. Once again, slow motion. Well, one aid, that must be a daf Ayin Dalet. While one aide told a nirdaf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the rotif's leg to avoid being chayiv misa, which reminds us, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul said that if a rotif was pursuing someone to kill him, and one was able to save the potential victim by disabling one of the rotif's limbs, well, hitzil, and he didn't save him that way, but killed the pursuer, neragolav, the rescuer himself is killed for it, since it was necessary to save the victim. So, well, one aide told a nirdaf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the rotif's leg to avoid being chayiv misa. A pair of aidim told their terrified friend that although yeherog val yavor usually applies to three averos, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan reported that it was voted and decided that regarding all averos, if one is told transgress this avera or else will kill you, then yavor val yehereg, he should transgress and not be killed except for avodah zorah, gil yarayis, and shfichus damim. So while one aide told a nirdaf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the rotif's leg to avoid being chayiv misa, a pair of aidim told their terrified friend that although yeherog val yavor usually applies to three averos, this was shas gezeres hamalchus, and he should give up his life rather than change his shoelaces for goyisha ones. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that b'shas gezeres hamalchus, during a time of governmental decrees against Yiddishkeit, one must sacrifice his life to avoid transgressing even mitzvah kala, a minor mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan said the same for any aver transgressed before Hesia in public before 10 Jews. A mitzvah call includes even changing his shoelaces, where the Jewish practice differs for modesty purposes. So once again, while one aide told a nirdaf to aim carefully and save himself by hitting the rotif's leg to avoid being chayiv misa, a pair of aidim told their terrified friend that although yeherog vel yavor usually applies to three averos, this was shas gezeres hamalchus, and he should give up his life rather than change his shoelaces for goyisha ones. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara, daf ayin. So the simmer daf ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. The eye doctor, that must be our daf ayin, eye. The eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the ill effects of wine and how it can ruin people. Rav Chanan said, "Nivra yan ba'olam el nachem avelim l'sham schar l'rashaim." Wine was only created in the world to comfort mourners and to give earthly reward to the wicked. So the eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face and was crying out, "Vai, vai, vai," as he mumbled something about Noach's tent, which reminds us, over Gwila, Darshan, that the letter Vav is written 13 times in the incident of Noach planting a vineyard and becoming drunk to hint to cries of "Vai, vai, whoa, whoa." Rav and Shmuel debate what Noach's son, Cham, did to him. One says, Sereso, he castrated him. The other says, Revo, he had relations with him. The first opinion says that because Cham disabled Noach from having a fourth son, Noach cursed Canaan, Cham's fourth son. The other opinion responds that Cham did both. So the eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face and was crying out, "Vai, vai, vai," as he mumbled something about Noach's tent, noticed the young boy had brought a photo of himself drinking wine and eating meat at a chaburah's mitzvah convened for Ibra Chodesh, which reminds us, Rabbi Avo said that one only becomes a ben sora or mora if he ate at a gathering, shakula srikin, who are all good for nothings. This is a challenge from the Mishnah, which taught that if he ate at a gathering involving a mitzvah, meaning the meal convened for Ibra Chodesh, he does not become a ben sora or mora, implying that as long as it was not a mitzvah gathering, he would be liable. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah teaches that even if he did eat at a gathering of idlers, since he was involved in a mitzvah at this gathering, he's not liable because l'mimshich, he will not be drawn to continue doing so. Daf ayin alf. So the simon daf ayin alf is a donkey going ee-aw. So here goes. Well, the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the parsha ben sora mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys. Donkeys? That must mean on daf ayin alf. Ee-aw. While the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the parsha of ben sora mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys taking their son to Beis Din, which reminds us, and Bryce Rabbi explains, that the ben sora's mother must be shava la'avi b'kol u'b'maru u'b'koma, similar to his father in voice, appearance, and height. Because this is nearly impossible, Rabbi Yehuda may be the Tana who said, ben sora mora lohaya v'la asilios. There was never a ben sora mora, and there never will be. And the reason it was written in the Torah was drosh b'kabal schar. Go darshan it and receive reward for doing so. Rabbi Yonason reports having sat on the grave of a ben sora mora. So while the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the parsha of ben sora mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys taking their son to Beis Din, a ben Noach who killed another ben Noach and then converted walked out of Beis Din exempt, which reminds us, the Brisa states that a ben Noach who killed another ben Noach or had relations with his fellow's wife and converted is exempt since he would not be executed for doing so now. So while the rabbi is getting schar for darshaning in the parsha ben sora mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys, taking the son to Beis Din, a ben Noach who killed another ben Noach and then converted walked out of Beis Din exempt, and was astonished when he saw a ben sora mora on a donkey with meat and wine in his hand, heading down the wrong path towards Amanda, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a ben sora mora is nidon al shem sofo, is judged based on his ultimate end, because we say, yamu zakai va yamuz chayv, let him die innocent and not die after he becomes guilty of murder. And a bris, Rabbi Yossi Aglia explains, does he deserve to be stoned for consuming a tartamer of meat and a log of Italian wine? Rather, the Torah foresaw his ultimate end. After depleting his father's assets, he'll seek to maintain his habit and rob people on the crossroads and murder those who resist. Therefore, it's better that he should die while he's still innocent. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simur Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must be on Daf Ayin Beis of thick. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, which reminds us, a burglar who enters a house by machteris may be killed because he's prepared to kill the homeowner. Rav explains this law. Chazakein adam mamin atzma mamono. There is an established presumption that a person does not hold himself back from protecting his property. So the burglar who takes this into account must have decided that if the homeowner will confront him, he'll kill the homeowner. So the cake thief, risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the burglar broke a barrel while he was breaking in, then ein lo damim, if he has no blood, meaning he is an ordinary burglar who may be killed, he's patur from paying the damages. Since he may be killed, he cannot also be liable for damages during that time, because we say, kamlei b'derabi mineh, he's only subject to the greater punishment. So the cake thief, risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, and woke up the baby whose mother unfortunately passed away during childbirth. Which reminds, the Mishnah states that although before a baby is born, it can be killed to save the mother's life, because an unborn child is not a full-fledged life, yatzarosho enogimbo, after its head came out of the mother, we cannot touch it, meaning to kill it, to save the mother. Because we do not push away one life to save another life. But according to Rav Huna, the baby should be a rotif, since it threatens the mother's life and may be killed. The Gemara answers that that case is different because it's from Shemaim that the mother is being pursued, meaning the baby is not actively pursuing the mother. The danger is happening on its own. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the Simur Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs. Giant ostrich eggs? That must be on Daf Ayin Gimel. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ve'elohen shematzivun osam b'nafshan. These are those whom we save from sinning with their lives, meaning they're killed to be stopped. One is pursuing someone to kill him, or pursuing a male or an amorasa to have relations with them. However, one who is pursuing an animal for relations or is about to be Machal Shabbos or worship of Avodah Zorah is not killed. Rashi explains that this law applies to where there is an avera and pagam. There is a disgrace to the victim or death. So the man throwing giant ostrich eggs trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman stopped when she said, leave him be. Which reminds us, in the Brace, Rabbi Yehuda said, Af homeres hanichulo, shol yargena. Even if the woman tells rescuers, leave him to violate me and do not stop him, so not kill her, if they attempt to rescue, the pursuer cannot be killed. So the man throwing giant ostrich eggs trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman stopped when she said, leave him be, rendering the attacker chayiv in kenas. Which reminds us, the Brisa taught that one pursuing any erva can be killed to stop him. The Gemara asks that a Mishnah teaches that one who violates his sister pays the 50 shekel kenas for violating a basula. But if he could have been killed at the time, he should be exempt from the kenas because of kimle b'derabim ne. Rav Chisda answers that the case is where he first had relations with her, shelo kadarka, unnaturally, so she's already disgraced, but still basula, and then violated her normally, for which she becomes liable for the kenas. Other answers are given. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you discuss killing a baby during childbirth to save the mother? That's on daf. Ayin Beis. Good number two, which stuff do we machlokes regarding what Ham did to Noach in his tent? That's on daf. Ayin. Good number three, which stuff do we discuss how one who violates an erva, such as a brother violating a sister, can be liable for kenas if he could have been killed? That's on daf. Ayin Gimel. Good number four, which stuff do you want to Ben Sormor's parents must be equal in height, appearance, and voice, and there's Malchokas if there ever was a Ben Sormor. That's on Duff. Ayin Av. Good number five, which stuff do you want if one is able to rescue a Nirduf by aiming at the Rodef's legs but kills the Rodef, he is Chayv Misa. That's on Duff. Ayin Dal. Good number six, which stuff do you want with a Ben Sormor we calculate 3 months from a 9-month pregnancy since we go after Rove. That's on Duff. Samech Tes. Good number seven. Which of them that Yehirag Mel Yavor applies specifically to three averos? That's on Duff. Ayin Dalad. Good number eight. Which of them that Ben Sor Mora is Nidon Oshem Sofo? He's judged based on his ultimate end. That's on Duff. Ayin Av. Good number nine. Which stuff you want a Katan cannot become a Ben Sor Umora? That's on Duff. Samaches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn that Bishas Gezeres HaMalchus, one must give up his life even for a mitzvah kala, such as changing one's shoelaces? That's on Dav. Ayin Dalad. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.